B'shus, the Mordasra of Schoenfeld, is not here yet, but we ask his B'shus in absentia. Very often I want to offer a brief caveat, which is that I am by no means capable of offering a thorough, extensive overview of all the relevant halachas of Yom Tov Sheni, but I thought just to present a basic understanding of the origins of Yom Tov Sheni and some relevant halachas as well, the basic discussion that posts can have with regard to the major issues that come up. And I want to also, before I begin, thank the Vadel Chizik HaTorah, Dr. Mabrik, Dr. Horowitz, for arranging, coordinating for this year, once again this year. The basics of Yom Tov Sheni, the origins, go back to the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, which describes the system of how Beis Din would determine the beginning of each month back in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah there tells us that Barishona Hayu Masiyah Masuos, that back in the day, the Beis HaMikdash, when Beis Din would determine when each new month started on the basis of testimony of witnesses who saw the new moon the previous night. So the Mishnah says that Beis Din, when they would hear Edim come and tell them, last night we saw the new moon, it is now a new month, they would immediately light bonfires at the top of different mountains, and there was a chain reaction that was put into place. When one bonfire was seen from one mountain, another sentry, so to speak, on a different mountain lit his bonfire, and there was a chain of bonfires that went up that night throughout Eretz Yisrael from mountain to mountain, so that people throughout the communities of Eretz Yisrael would know, oh, there's a bonfire lit on that mountain tonight. That means that Beis Din today received witnesses that saw the previous night, the new moon. That means that today was already the first day of the new month. And that is how Gans Klal Yisrael, the entire nation, would know today was the first day of the new month. That's how they would keep track of when the Yomim Tovim would be in that coming month. The Mishnah then says, this was a very nice system, you know, the pre-telecommunication age. That's how everyone knew when Yom Tov would be, based on when Rosh Chodesh would begin. But the Mishnah says, what happened when the Kusim, Mishikilkul HaKusim, when the Kusim, the individuals who had an interest in sabotaging Torah lifestyle, caught on to the system of the Beis Din. So they, Rebbe says that at that time, the Mishnah tells us that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi at that time, apologies to Marza Asher for the confusion. So the Mishnah tells us that when the Kusim caught on to the system of Masin Masuos and they would sabotage the system of bonfires, so the Mishnah tells us that Rebbe declared that from that point on there would no longer be a system of bonfires to determine when Rosh Chodesh occurred. Rather, Hayushluchen Yotzen, they would send out emissaries, shluchim, from Beis Din every month to tell the different communities in Eretz Yisrael and beyond when Rosh Chodesh began. And already at this time, the Gemara tells us if there would be a community which the shluchim, the emissaries of Beis Din, would be unable to get to before the upcoming Yom Tov. So if it was the month of Tishrei, and the shluchim would be unable to reach certain far-flung communities because there was no travel time on Rosh Hashanah, no travel time on Yom Kippur, and they'd be unable to find out when Sukkot was in time for Sukkot to begin. So the Gemara tells us that already they would keep 2 days Yom Tov in those communities. Those communities which were unable to find out in time when Rosh Chodesh was, already began to keep 2 days of Yom Tov, until they were able to determine, based on when the shluchim finally arrived, oh, Rosh Chodesh was actually on this particular day. Now we know the accurate calendar count. But at this point in time, everything was still only based on suffix. It was all based on whether you knew, whether you didn't know. So for example, in the times of the shluchim of Beis Din who would be going out to different communities in Eretz Yisrael to tell them when Rosh Chodesh was established, what would happen if there was somebody who, for whatever reason, was able to figure out on his own when Rosh Chodesh actually was? The example given was there would be some individuals who knew the astronomy behind the Chiddush HaLavana, the astronomy as to when the new moon would be seen. If you had somebody who was a buck in astronomy, someone who was expert in astronomical calculations, and he knew that, well, based on last month's appearance of the new moon, this month's new moon will be seen at this particular time, this particular day. So an individual who's able to determine for his own when Rosh Chodesh actually was, he would only keep 1 day, because if he knew for a fact when Rosh Chodesh was, then the coming Yom Tov, he'd have no reason to keep 2 days. So even though there were many communities in Eretz Yisrael and beyond who perhaps didn't find out in time before Yom Tov started when Rosh Chodesh was, they would keep 2 days. But any person, even somebody living right around that area, who knew based on his own astronomical calculations, oh, I know when Rosh Chodesh was because I figured it out scientifically, so he wouldn't have to keep 2 days because there was no set halacha at that time. Everyone in a certain place must keep 2 days of Yom Tov. It was simply, if you knew when Rosh Chodesh was, you kept 1 day of Yom Tov. If you didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, you kept 2 days of Yom Tov. So you might have a kind of ironic situation at that particular time. You would have somebody who was an expert in astronomy. He was able to figure out, I know when Rosh Chodesh was, I therefore know when Sukkot begins. He would keep only 1 day of Yom Tov. Whereas many other people, perhaps in just a neighboring neighborhood or in the same community even, might not have that same scientific knowledge as he did. They might not know when Rosh Chodesh was, and if the shluchim of Beis Din didn't get to their town in time to tell them when Rosh Chodesh began, they would have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So at that particular time in Jewish history, ironically, you might have a situation where some people were keeping 2 days Yom Tov because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, and somebody who was living very nearby would know on his own scientific knowledge when Rosh Chodesh was, he'd keep 1 day Yom Tov. However, the Gemara in Beitza tells us on Daf Dalet that Hashta diyadinam bekviya diyarcha, that even now that we know when Rosh Chodesh is, why then do we still keep 2 days? So the Gemara tells us that there was a takanas chazal, the shalchu mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, he zaharu b'minag avoseichem b'yadeichem. A takana was issued that you have to maintain the minog of your fathers, of your ancestors, to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Meaning, if you happen to live in a place that was far enough from Yerushalayim that the shluchim of Beis Din would not get to this neighborhood in time before Sukkot to tell you when Rosh Chodesh was, even though you might know when Rosh Chodesh was, perhaps on the basis of your own astronomical calculations, but at a certain point in time, this was in the second generation of Amoraim, at a certain point in time, a takana was issued that even if you happen to know when Rosh Chodesh was, you must maintain the minhag of those who preceded you in this particular neighborhood to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So already at this point in time, and for the first time now, the second generation of Amoraim, times of Rebbe Lazar, Ben Pedas, a takana was issued that really defined the keeping of 2 days Yom Tov on the basis of place, on the basis of where you live. If you live in a place which historically people would not find out when Rosh Chodesh was in time, and they would have to keep 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Pesach, so you therefore now living in that same place, even if you yourself know, based on your astronomy, you yourself know when Rosh Chodesh was, you still have to keep 2 days of Yom Tov because of that minhag avoseichem b'yadeichem. And finally, and perhaps what we now are experiencing is that ultimately the Gemara tells us, the Rishonim tell us, that in the year 359 approximately, Hillel Hanasi decided to set into place a permanent Jewish calendar. There's a bit of a question in the Rishonim which Hillel this was. There were at least 10 Hillels who lived over the years, Tanoim, Amoraim, all descended from the original Hillel HaZaken, but according to the Ramban, this was the Hillel who lived in the year 359, which makes him a very late Amora, not the earlier Hillel HaZaken that perhaps we are more familiar with. This was a Hillel who was a descendant of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, a number of generations down the line. And in the year 359, he was the one who established the permanent Jewish calendar that would be utilized for all future generations until the times of Mashiach, when we will revert back to the witness-based determination of when Rosh Chodesh is. And now that we have this set calendar, of course there's no longer any witnesses coming to testify that we saw the new moon last night. There's no longer any determination of Rosh Chodesh on the basis of Eidus and Beis Din. It's all set. It's all set in stone on the basis of the calculations of Hillel HaNasi of this calendar. So certainly now we have no suffix whatsoever. There's no longer any doubt whatsoever when Rosh Chodesh is. We all know. It's take out the Ezra Star Luch and you got it. And yet, the same halacha still applies. As the Gemara Beitza says, even though we know Bekvidi Yachah, we know when Rosh Chodesh was, still because of this takana of Hizar, B'minigah, B'seichem, B'yadeichem, to maintain this minhag of our forefathers, to maintain this observation of 2 days of Yom Tov. We all keep 2 days of Yom Tov, even though we know for certain when Rosh Chodesh was. And the reason the Gemara gives is because Zimnin de Gazru Shmada va'asi l'kalkule, that we're concerned, perhaps, the Gemara says, there will come a time when people will be unable to transmit this Mesorah of how to calculate the Jewish calendar system. And if that Mesorah gets lost, we might confuse ourselves in determining when Rosh Chodesh is supposed to be. We might come to eat chametz on Pesach, not having the accurate day count of the calendar. And so the Gemara says that we should always maintain this 2 day observation of Yom Tov in Eretz and Chutz La'aretz, ad bias goal until Mashiach's arrival. Now there's a number of questions that Rishonim and Achronim raise as a result of this basic introduction. One of the most obvious is, what about Shavuos? Why is Shavuos 2 day Yom Tov? If the entire nature of the takana of 2 days Yom Tov is because there was a time when they didn't know when Yom Tov would be because they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, why was Shavuos included? What's the question based on? Right, obviously, once you know Pesach, you know Shavuos. There's no need to determine Rosh Chodesh is for Shavuos. You know Pesach, count your 50 days, you're done. So why was there any concern with regard to Shavuos to maintain 2 days of Shavuos? So the Rambam himself gives us the answer to this question, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam tells us very simply, Kedesh lo tachlok b'moados. He says the reason for this is very simply that there shouldn't be any distinctions drawn between one Yom Tov and another. We want to make a halacha very clear, simple, easy to observe. 2 days Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, in these places where they traditionally had 2 days of Yom Tov, we're going to start making distinctions between Pesach and Shavuos, Sukkot and Shavuos. It's going to become a mess. Be absolute confusion ultimately. So Kedesh lo tachlok b'moados, says the Rambam, Shavuos was included in this takana. Chazal said, you know what, no distinctions are going to be made. Let's make this easy, clear cut. Shavuos will be 2 days as well. In fact, the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer writes that this might make Shavuos even more chomer than other Yomim Tovim. If other Yomim Tovim, we only kept 2 days because initially it was a machmas safek, we weren't sure when Yom Tov was supposed to be, one might argue that Shavuos is even more chomer than Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos, because it was never on the basis of safek, it was always on the basis of takanas Chazal. We want you to keep 2 days of Yom Tov with regard to Shavuos. A second question, and a more fascinating one because it appears to have been an issue even as recently as a few hundred years ago, is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur also. Yom Kippur, we don't have the Sfiras HaOmer account to tell us when Yom Kippur is supposed to be. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the month. If we didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was, how should we know when Yom Kippur is? And then we should keep 2 days Yom Kippur, which would obviously make for some difficulty. And yet the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Aleph that Rava, in fact, would fast 2 days of Yom Kippur every year because of the suffix. He said 2 days Yom Kippur, just like 2 days of every other Yom Tov. If I don't know when Yom Kippur is supposed to be, I got to fast for 2 days. Not only Rava, but the Tur writes, the Hasidim in Anshei Maisa, he writes, in Ashkenaz. He says, the Hasidim, the really pious people in Germany, he writes, Regilin. It's a common custom for these individuals to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. Can you imagine? Writing in the 1300s, the Torah is telling us that in Germany, the Hasidim, the Anshei Maisa, Regilin, they were very accustomed to making 2 days of Yom Kippur every single year, which is itself pretty incredible. He says that we didn't have a minion of 10 such people, and they were daven, forget the fasting, davening 2 days in Yom Kippur. Itself is a challenge. Pretty incredible. Other Rishonim, the Ramah, for example, actually quotes this minhag. The Ramah quotes this minhag that some people have to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. And I guess, fortunately for us, in a certain sense, he does not advise observing this minhag for the obvious reason that there's a sakana involved. In fact, the Yerushalmi in Chala describes the story of the father of Shmuel, who kept 2 days of Yom Kippur, fasted 2 days in a row, and as a result became ill and died because of it. And for that reason, because of the sakana involved, the Ramah, on the basis of early Rishonim, counsels against keeping 2 days of Yom Kippur. The Beis Yosef writes, he says, that they're quoting the early Rishonim, that there's no raya, no proof from Rava. Rava kept 2 days of Yom Kippur, he says, because Rava lived at the time when there was still a real suffix, when Rosh Chodesh was. That was still in the time when pre-takana of Minigav Asechem Bidechem. Rava lived early enough that they were still accepting Edim to determine when Rosh Chodesh was. It was a real suffix in those days. But he says, nowadays, Yosef writes, that our observance of 2 days Yom Tov is only based on the minog of early generations. And early generations did not observe 2 days Yom Tov. Most didn't. Few Hasidim did. Most did not. So we're not bound to do that either. I think the closest we probably came to 2 days Yom Tov was in 1941 in Japan with Amir Yeshiva. Dealt with this question of the international date line, what day is Yom Kippur? Famous Machlokas Chazanish, Shevichil Mechotar Kaczynski. And was Yom Kippur on Wednesday? Was Yom Kippur on Thursday? Machlokas HaPoskim. I think reports are that there were some Yechidei Segula who tried to fast both days. That perhaps was the closest we came to this phenomenon of Chassidim and Anshei Maisa fasting 2 days in a row on Yom Kippur. But this is the basic introduction to the 2 days observation of Yom Tov Sheni. Unfortunately, over the centuries, this was a very favorite target of the Reform Jews back in 1846 in Breslau, Germany. One of the first things that the Reform movement discarded was the second day of Yom Tov Sheni. In fact, this at that time caused a very intense, interesting public display of shul politics in Albany, New York, of all places. Shul politics is always exciting, especially if it's not in your own shul. And what happened in Albany, New York was Isaac Meir Wise, who was the founder of Hebrew Union College in the 1870s, had been retained as, quote-unquote, the rabbi of a Orthodox shul in Albany back in the 1840s. Back in the 1840s in America, if you knew how to read Hebrew, you were already close to smicha. There was about, I think, one rabbi who actually had smicha in the country at that time, Rabbi Avraham Rice of Baltimore. That was it. He was the first musmuch to come to this country in 1840. Aside from him, that was it. And Isaac Meir Wise, who called himself Rabbi Doctor, but could not prove either of those titles, held this position in the Orthodox shul in Albany, New York. And in 1850, shortly after having been put in Cheir by Rabbi Rice for denying B'yas HaMashiach and B'yas HaMesim, he got up and declared that they shouldn't keep Yom Tov Sheni either. And as a result, the president of the shul, who was an Orthodox fellow named Louis Spanier, got the membership together, voted that we're going to, you know, obviously can't have such a rabbi in an Orthodox shul. And when this Isaac Meir Wise insisted on continuing to come to shul, that Rosh Hashanah, he walked into shul and the president was sitting in his seat. So he didn't say anything. The next morning he came back again, the president was still sitting in his seat. And the following morning when he walked up to the bima to, Rosh Hashanah morning, walked up to the bima to conduct himself as rabbi as usual, the president apparently attacked him physically and there was a benches clearing brawl in shul. A sheriff was called in, kicked everyone out, locked the shul for the day, and that was Rosh Hashanah in Albany in 1850. So, I guess this was a very, very heated issue back in the day, at least for some. Getting to some halacha lemaisa with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, are there any distinctions as to the difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni because of the fact that Yom Tov Sheni was only takanas chazal based on minhag avaseichem b'yadeichem or not? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, tell us that there really are very, very few differences between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. Ein chiluk bein Rishon l'Sheni, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, very few differences. There are only maybe a handful of differences, most of which are not very relevant to us on a regular basis. Perhaps the most relevant difference is that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, one is allowed to treat medically an eye condition on Yom Tov Sheni. Although on Yom Tov Rishon, as on Shabbos, refuah, medication for a slight ache or discomfort, which is not really impairing a person's ability to function, is not allowed. There's a Gezeres Chazal that one cannot treat a minor ache or discomfort on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Nevertheless, with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam paskin, that one is allowed to treat a minor medical condition of the eye. And the Ramah says that that same halacha will be extended, is extended to any slight medical discomfort which one wants to take some medication for. You have a slight headache, you want to take some Tylenol. On Shabbos Yom Tov, if it's only a slight discomfort, it's very problematic. But on Yom Tov Sheni, if one wants to take medication for a slight medical discomfort, even if it doesn't impair your ability to function, says Rama, it is permitted to do so on Yom Tov Sheni. The Mishnah Berurah even goes so far as to suggest that maybe even doing a Melacha d'oraisa ayidei shinoi would be permitted on Yom Tov Sheni. Even if a Jew does a Melacha d'oraisa ayidei shinoi to treat a choli she'ein bo sakana, might be permissible on Yom Tov Sheni. Other distinctions between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni are not as frequently relevant. One is with regard to bearing a mace on Yom Tov Sheni, which technically, according to Halacha, is allowed on Yom Tov Sheni. Moshe Feinstein does not recommend doing that nowadays because not everyone will follow the guidelines as to exactly how to do it properly. And the third exception with regard to Yom Tov Sheni is that something which was Muktz on Yom Tov Rishon might become a non-Muktz on Yom Tov Sheni. Example being, if I guess the not so common anymore Beitz HaShenolda case on Yom Tov Rishon, which is Muktza on Yom Tov Sheni, that Beitz would be Muteris. An egg that is laid on Yom Tov Rishon is going to be forbidden to use on Yom Tov Rishon because it's Muktza, but on Yom Tov Sheni it's going to be permissible. Perhaps a slightly more common application of the halacha would be if a non-Jew happens to pluck one of his aravos off his arava bush just because he's pruning his bush on Yom Tov Rishon, and then you decide, Yom Tov Sheni, oops, I need some aravos, maybe I can borrow one that he plucked yesterday. That might be a more common application of this shaila. It was muktzah on Yom Tov Rishon because it had been mechubar lekarka on Yom Tov Rishon. It became detached on Yom Tov Rishon, still muktzah. Yom Tov Sheni would become unmuktzah and usable. But again, the most common application of this kula Yom Tov Sheni would be with regard to refuah, to medication Yom Tov Sheni being permissible. Moving into the more common question of how does one from Chutz La'aretz conduct themselves in Eretz Yisrael on Yom Tov Sheni when visiting Eretz Yisrael on Yom Tov. And this is the source of a tremendous amount of discussion nowadays in contemporary poskim, and surprisingly very little discussion back in the days of the Gemara and the Rishonim, perhaps because back in the day, if you went to Eretz Yisrael, you stayed in Eretz Yisrael. There was no such thing as, I'm just going to visit for a couple of days and come right back. It was a journey that, if you made it, would take you weeks, if not months, and if you worked that hard to get there, you weren't leaving. So, presumably for that reason, there was very little discussion in the earlier makoros for this halacha, and very much nowadays in the contemporary poskim. So, what are the halachas with regard to a ben chutz la'aretz in Eretz Yisrael? The source for the discussion is a mishnah in Pesachim, in the fourth parak, the very first mishnah, where the Mishnah says that Makam Shenagu Lasos Malacha Be'erev Be'arvei Pesachim, there were some places where they had a custom to do Malacha on Erev Pesach in the first half of the day, some places where they had a minhag not to do Malacha on Erev Pesach the first half of the day. And the Mishnah says, what happens if you go from one place to another? You're from a place where they do Malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, you go to a place where they don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, or vice versa. What's the Halacha? So the Mishnah says very simply, Nosin Alav Chumrei Makam Sheyatza Misham V'Chumrei Makam Shehalach L'Sham. You keep the stringencies of both. You're coming from a place where they don't do Malacha on Erev Pesach in the morning, and you're going to a place where they do Malacha Erev Pesach in the morning, then you should not do Malacha. And same vice versa, if one is going from a place where they do Malacha on Erev Pesach, Erev Chatzos, but Erev Pesach before Chatzos, to a place they don't do Malacha, Erev Pesach before Chatzos, then as well you should observe the minhag of Makom where you are now and not do Malacha because of Machlokas, the Mishnah says. And this serves as the basis for our discussion as well. The Gemara itself applies it to the Din of Yom Tov Sheni. The Gemara speaks about Amoraim who would travel from one place, presumably in Eretz Yisrael, to another place in Chutz La'aretz. And this question came up, do I do malacha, do I not do malacha? But the basic halacha is that you have to observe the stringency, the chumrei makom sheyatza misham, the stringencies of the place where you came from, even when you're now visiting a place where they have a kula, a more lenient approach to this shaila of malacha. If we look in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Tzadivav, the Shulchan Aruch, very interestingly, only discusses one half of the equation. Shulchan Aruch speaks only of an Israeli coming to Chutz Laretz. And the Shulchan Aruch says, an Israeli who comes to Chutz Laretz, well, Chumrei Makom Shehalach Lasham, he's got to observe the Chumras of the place that he arrives in. He's not allowed to do Malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. And most Achronim write that even in private he can't do Malacha when he comes to Chutz Laretz on Yom Tov Sheni. And from the moment the Shulchan Aruch says that he reaches a place where Jews live in Chutz Laretz, he cannot do Malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. And the Mishnah Berurah there in discussing that halacha tells us the basic guidelines are that malacha, an Israeli cannot do in Chutz Laretz and Yom Tov Sheni, because it's something which people will see, people will find out about, that will cause machlokas. He can't do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Laretz. So too, Mishnah Berurah writes, an Israeli in Chutz Laretz has to wear Yom Tov clothing on second day Yom Tov, because it's a public demonstration of Yom Tov or not Yom Tov. And anything public has to be done in accordance with the Minhag HaMakom, where you are. The flip side, says the Mishnah Berurah, would be with regard to davening. Davening, which is a private affair, you daven quietly Shmoneh Esrei, nobody knows which Shmoneh Esrei you're davening. That an Israeli visiting Chutz Laretz, Mishnah Berurah writes, should daven Chol Shmoneh Esrei, daven his own weekday Shmoneh Esrei quietly, but shouldn't make it obvious. He should come to shul and just daven in his quiet Shmoneh Esrei, the weekday Shmoneh Esrei.
What happens with tefillin?
Great question. So the post can write, he should do tefillin at home privately. Can't bring his tefillin to shul, he's got to do it at home privately. He has a chiv of tefillin because for him it's a weekday, but he can't do it where anybody would see. Shmoneh Esrei, you daven weekday Shmoneh Esrei quietly. No, without tefillin on. Tefillin you do at home, say Kriya Shema at home with the tefillin on, then come to shul and daven. For Shema, it's more critical. For Kriya Shema. So say, put on at home first, say Kriya Shema, then come to shul and daven Tfilas Chol B'Tzibur. Shlomo Kluger writes, he says, even if one person ceases doing malacha, it's already not sin anymore. It's already fahesed, it's already public, and it's usher. He quoted the following story that occurred in his town in Brody, that it was a Simchas Torah. There was an Israeli in town visiting, and in Kriyas Torah, they saw in the Kriyas Torah, Mimeged Shamayim Mital. The word Mital was written Me'al, with an I instead of a Tess. Big problem. So what do you do? So the Rav there apparently called the Israeli Shliach over, and he pulled a talus, you know, over the Sefer Torah. He said, okay, just scrape off that bottom leg of the, I and make it into a test, and let's keep it quiet. So Shlomo Kluger was all infuriated. He said, what are you doing? This is Malacha, the Farhesia. Even one person, the rabbi himself, sees you doing it, you can't do it. Even if your talus is really pulled over really nicely, no one saw what you're doing under there. But one person knows what you're doing. It's a Malacha, the Farhesia. You can't do it. Because that is really what the Shulchan Aruch discusses, which is very striking because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention at all the other side of the coin, which is the B'nai Chutz Laretz going to Eretz Yisrael. Very, very strange. If you're going to be discussing, you know, already what happens when you travel from one place to the next, you're discussing from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, so why would you not discuss Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael? Very striking omission in the Shulchan Aruch. And in fact, in the Torah, everything's omitted. So that at least I understand. You're not discussing it at all. Okay, it's one thing. But you're discussing only half of it, not the other half. Somewhat very, very puzzling. Why the Shulchan Aruch omitted that? Perhaps the answer, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests, is the following. And this is a theory, an interesting theory, which is the following. There is a famous, famous shita of the Chacham Tzvi. Tzvi Ashkenazi, 1600s, 1700s, who was asked this question about B'nai Chutz Laretz going to Eretz Yisrael. And the Chacham Tzvi writes, what should B'nai Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael do? So you would assume, on the basis of the Mishnah and Pesachim, that, well, chumrei makom shehalach lisham, chumrei makom sheyatzah misham, you have to keep the stringencies of where you came from, where you're coming to. So I would think, on that basis, very simply, B'nai Chutz Laretz going to Eretz Yisrael should keep the chumrei hamakom sheyatzah misham, the chumras of where we come from, and keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael.
But it's not a chumra, it's a takana.
Meaning?
Meaning that it only applies to Chutz Laretz, which doesn't apply in Israel. It doesn't apply to you, it applies to the place.
Good question, but that's a very good point. With regard to, let's say, not putting on tefillin or which Shmoneh Esrei to daven, you're right, it's not a chumrah, it's a question of which one do I do. Do I not do it, do I yes do it? If anything, it's a kula, I don't put on tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni. But how about malacha? I can't do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. So, shouldn't I observe that chumrah in Eretz Yisrael?
But it's not a chumrah.
Not doing malacha is a chumrah, isn't it?
But the olam in Eretz Yisrael does work. On Yom Tov Sheni, so
right.
Supposedly.
Right.
And you're just going to be standing out by not doing it, so to speak. And it's not a Qumrah in the sense that if you lived always in Eretz Yisrael and you moved there, you wouldn't be observing it anyway.
That's a good point. So Chacham Tzvi says just about precisely what you're saying. He adds one little...
I'm saying what he said.
Depends where you look at it. He happened to come first, but if it wasn't for that, he'd be saying what you're saying. So the Chacham Tzvi says almost exactly what you're saying. Where they one added Kanech. He says the following. He says, you're right, it's not a question of Chumrah or not Chumrah. He says, the din in the Mishnah Pesachim that you keep the Chumrah of where you came from is with regard to a Chumrah which theoretically I could keep in Eretz Yisrael if I wanted to. So if I transported my entire town to Midbar Yehuda and settled there, if I could keep my Chumrahs there, then I still have to keep them when I'm visiting Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, Haifa, etc. However, says the Chacham Tzvi, if I were to transport my entire neighborhood and take all of Kew Garden Hills to Israel, we would not be allowed to keep 2 days Yom Tov. It's Baal Tosef. You can't keep 2 days Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael where you're not allowed to. It's a Shiloh of Isser, of Aveira. So if it's something that I cannot do in Eretz Yisrael, even if I would want to, it's a Chumrah that I can't keep in Eretz Yisrael, even if I would want to, then this is not what the Mishnah is speaking about when it says, keep the Chumrahs of where you came from. The Chumrahs of where you came from means... like the Gemara discusses in Chulin, there was a certain part of the animal that some people would eat, some people wouldn't eat. So that chumrah can be kept anywhere in the world. Just a question of your mesorah, what your minhag is. My minhag is to eat this part of the animal, my minhag is not to eat this part of the animal. So you can keep that chumrah wherever you happen to be living. But this chumrah, says the Chacham Tzvi, by definition, the mere fact that it is something which is not a chumrah you can keep in Eretz Yisrael, you can't possibly keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael because that's an Isra Baal Tosef. So, therefore, it applies only in Chutz Lars. It does not apply to Eretz Yisrael, even for a Ben Chutz Lars who's visiting Eretz Yisrael. That is the Chacham Tzvi's suggestion. Now, so Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests, he says, perhaps this might be why the Shulchan Aruch omitted this din altogether. Shulchan Aruch discusses only what happens when an Israeli comes to Chutz Lars. It doesn't discuss the flip side of a Chutz Lars person going to Eretz Yisrael. Why not? So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests, very fascinating suggestion, that if the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Chacham Tzvi, that when a Ben Chutz Lars goes to Eretz Yisrael, he cannot keep 2 days of Yom Tov, then that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss it. Shulchan Aruch discusses only Ben Eretz Yisrael going to Chutz Lars, keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. But a Ben Chutz Lars going to Eretz Yisrael, according to Chacham Tzvi, he keeps 1 day like everyone Eretz Yisrael keeps. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch omits this halacha, or this half of the halacha entirely, perhaps because he holds like the Chacham Tzvi that a Chutz Lars visitor to Eretz Yisrael would keep only 1 day of Yom Tov. It's a very interesting suggestion. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch himself, in his Shalos and Tshuvos, Avkas Rochel, seems to contradict that assertion. The Shulchan Aruch himself writes in his Shalos and Tshuvos, Avkas Rochel, Simen Chavav, he says that V'chein mishabah mechutz la'aretz la'aretz Yisrael, v'dayto lachzor, someone from chutz la'aretz who comes to Eretz Yisrael and has in mind to return, is bichlal b'nei chutz la'aretz ninu. He's like a ben chutz la'aretz. So very clearly the Shulchan Aruch himself in his Tshuvos contradicts the Chacham Tzvi and says, no, you're visiting Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Lars, you keep 2 days of Yom Tov. So the very outset, there's a very basic machlokas here between the Beis Yosef and his Shalos and Tshuvos and the Chacham Tzvi. The majority of poskim, contemporary poskim, and even earlier poskim, follow the opinion of the Beis Yosef of the Shulchan Aruch that a Ben Chutz Lars visiting Eretz Yisrael has to keep 2 days of Yom Tov like a Ben Chutz Lars. That's the opinion of the majority of the Gedolei Poskim today, Rav Yashar, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Ozner, Rav Scheinberg, all the contemporary Poskim, not all, most, follow the opinion of the Beis Yosef of the Shulchan Aruch that Ben Chutz Lars keeps 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. Good question. So that's always a question. You know, the halacha that you keep 2 days is if it's Daito Lachzar, if you have in mind to go back. The question is, at what point do we say you don't have in mind to go back? And then you become a Ben Eretz Yisrael. That's a very, very complex question. The Aruch HaShulchan has a Psak Halacha, which many posts disagree with, which is that if you're there for a whole year, that's it, you're Ben Eretz Yisrael. Even if you plan on coming back after that. Many posts disagree with that. I saw a quote that Ahol Yashiv writes that even if you're there for up to 5 years, but you have in mind to go back after that, you're still a Ben Chutz La'aretz.
Is the determination of what's considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael or Ben Chutz La'aretz, that context based upon whether it's Somer, Hashulch, and Aviv, or like independent at that point?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it might depend on whether you have the ability to make the decision for yourself or not. Again, I didn't go through all the different permutations of the question and what the post can say on it. I couldn't tell you definitively. I did see Yashiv quoted as having said that if you plan on going back, even though you're staying for 1, 2, 3, or 4 years, you're still a Ben Chutz La'aretz. If you're there for 5 to 10 years and you plan on going back after that, he's not sure, suffolk. If you're there for more than 10 years, even though you plan on going back in year 15, forget it, you're Ben Eretz Yisrael for the time that you're there. I'm not sure exactly how he came up with that calculation, but that's a Psak Halacha Sal quote from Bishmo. Yeah.
If you know for sure that the second day is in Yontif, so how can you still keep it while we're violating this Mitzvos D'oraisa, like not putting on?
Right, it's a very good question. So Tshuva Rashba writes, he says that on Yontif Sheni, even though there's mitzvah of tefillin in HaTorah, still Chazal v'sheva al-tasa said, don't put on tefillin. And Chazal attached so much importance to this takana of Yom Tov Sheni that they were willing to advise us or to determine or to decree upon us that we cannot put on tefillin. So that's perhaps the most pressing question. How could they, it shows the koach of the takanas Chazal, that they have the ability and they decided to, v'sheva al-tasa, prevent us from performing the mitzvah of tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni. Now the other question is, they were mistaken, we should perform brachos, kiddush, brachos ha-mitzvah. Okay, Chazal, I guess, can determine brachos in general, drabanan. So they can impose chiyuv of brachos on us when they determine that they want to do so. Again, this is only because Chazal decided upon it. In fact, those chassidim in Ashkenaz who kept 2 days Yom Kippur, the Rosh criticized them for doing so. And one of the reasons given for his criticism is because you have no right to daven tefillas Yom Kippur and added brachos and added Shemona Esrei when Chazal didn't impose it upon you. So there's a clear distinction between what Chazal in times of the Gemara say you have to say as brachos and tefillos, that they can do obviously, but what we want to do later on as chumrah to keep 2 Yom Kippurs, that the Rosh is not, was mocha, he's protested against, said you can't do that. So we have this machlokas Chacham Tzvi and Shulchan Aruch whether Ben Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael keeps 2 days or 1 day. Rav Tukhachinsky quotes from Shmuel Salant that he felt that the Iker Psak Halacha was like the Chacham Tzvi, and nevertheless, he wasn't willing to come out and say that a Ben Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael should keep only 1 day. Similar Psak Halacha was given by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in the name of Rav Chaim, that he felt that Me'ikar Adin Halacha is like the Chacham Tzvi. Me'ikar Adin. But Lemaisa, what both of Shmuel Salant and what the Rav Zatzal would recommend, consequently, would be to be machmir on both ends. Meaning, since Me'ikar Adin, according to Chacham Tzvi, Yom Tov Sheni is not really Yom Tov for a Ben Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael, he should keep only 1 day, so you should put on tefillin. You should daven tefillas chol, weekday davening. But at the same time, because the majority of poskim, Shulchan Aruch included, disagree with the Chacham Tzvi, so you can't do malacha either. You've got to refrain from doing malacha on that second day of Yom Tov, even though you're putting on tefillin and even though you're going to be davening tefillas chol. The interesting irony of this all is that even the Chacham Tzvi's own son, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, disagrees with his father. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his tshuvos, writes, he says, that even though he says, Chalili, far be it from me from disagreeing with my Avi Mori Hagonza, with my father, he says, nevertheless, he says, Daiti Hakala, my personal opinion is that one really should keep 2 days Yom Tov if you are a Ben Chutz La'aretz coming to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Yashiv, for example, cites this tshuva of Yaakov Emden as evidence that if even the Chacham Tzvi, his own son, disagrees with his opinion, his father's opinion, means you can't even rely on the Chacham Tzvi as a sniff l'hakel. You can't even use him as a added source for leniency. Meaning, Rabbi Yashim is of the opinion that if the Chacham Tzvi's own son disagreed firmly with his father's psak, and the majority of poskim disagree with it, so he felt that you can't even rely on it as an added basis for kula. Not everyone agrees with that. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, for example, does rely frequently on the Chacham Tzvi's shita as a basis for kula when there is a shail in halacha had a paskin. So, for example, very relevant, Shmini Atzeres, sitting in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. So if one's in Chutz Laaretz, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to sit in the sukkah when you eat on Shmini Atzeres, but don't make a bracha. What happens if this individual goes to Eretz Yisrael, and on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael, where there is no steak at the Yoma, so then everyone is eating in the house. No one's eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. It's not sukkahs anymore. It's a different Yom Tov. It's Shmini Atzeres. So should the Ben Chutz Laaretz, who would ordinarily sit in the sukkah on Chutz Laaretz, should he sit in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, no. He says, he's of the opinion that a Ben Chutz Laaretz in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres would not have to sit in the sukkah. And he has two reasons. One reason, he says, is because even in Chutz Laaretz, you're only sitting in the sukkah machmas safek. You don't make a bracha leishev sukkah in Chutz Laaretz on Shmini Atzeres. Maybe it's still sukkahs. Maybe it's already Shmini Atzeres. We don't know. And therefore, we sit in the sukkah in Chutz Laaretz without a bracha. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, well, if even in Chutz Laaretz you're sitting in the sukkah without a bracha, you're not sure, is it really still sukkahs? Or you're treating it as if you're not sure, is it really still sukkahs or is it already Shmini Atzeres? So in Eretz Yisrael, to be machmer on that which would only be a suffix in Chutz Laaretz, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says one is not required to do that. And then he says, and besides, you have the Chacham Tzvi anyways, who says that you should always keep one day in Eretz Yisrael. So he combines the Chacham Tzvi with a Svara to paskin leniently with regard to sitting in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres for a Ben Chutz Laaretz. Other contemporary poskim, those who would not be as comfortable relying on the Chacham Tzvi for a snif lahakel as an added basis for leniency, recommend that Ben Chutz Laaretz should sit in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael also on Shmini Atzeres. So one interesting machlokas contemporary poskim discuss with regard to whether we can rely on the Chacham Tzvi as an added basis when it comes to a Shailan Halacha, which one is uncertain about. Another very interesting question which comes up is the following. So, at this point we've mentioned the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, who says in his Tshuvos that a Ben Chutz Laaretz in Eretz Yisrael keeps 2 days. The Shita of the Chacham Tzvi says a Ben Chutz Laaretz in Eretz Yisrael keeps 1 day. The somewhat of a compromise shita, I guess you would call it, of Rav Chaim, of Shmuel Salant, to feel me'ikra din, like the Chacham Tzvi, that one should put on tefillin, one should daven tefillas chol, but they're not willing to be meikel across the board, you should still be machmir for not doing malacha on the second day Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. Interesting question, which Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked, and other poskim were asked as well, is what about what is now becoming a little bit more of a common occurrence, individuals who go to Eretz Yisrael not just for one Yom Tif, but for every Yom Tif. Someone owns an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, or somebody who rents an apartment or goes every year for every Yom Tif to Eretz Yisrael. What happens then? If you're coming for one Yom Tif, okay, so then some Zalman Auerbach will tell you, keep 2 days, you're Ben Chutz Laaretz, coming to Eretz Yisrael, visiting, keep 2 days of Yom Tif. But if you're coming for every single Yom Tif to Eretz Yisrael, so is there any reason to say that now you can only keep 1 day? Meaning, if you think back to times when Beis Din would determine Rosh Chodesh on the basis of witnesses, back at that time, somebody who came to Eretz Yisrael and was there for Yom Tif, even though he lived in Bavel, if he happened to be in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tif, he would know when Yom Tif was. And what would he do then? Keep one day. Because in those days, if he knew when it was, he kept 1 day. So Shlomo Zalman Paskins, very interestingly, that so too today, if somebody spends every single Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, that would make him as a Ben Eretz Yisrael with regard to Yom Tov, and he would only keep 1 day of Yom Tov. Very interesting psak. Rabbi Yashiv disagrees, and he says no. He says that the takana was a takana that was imposed on someone who is classified as a Ben Chutz Laaretz. If you're still living most of the year, the vast majority of the year in Chutz Laaretz, even though technically, logically, the basis for the takana should not apply to you because you're in Eretz Yisrael for every single Yom Tov and you really would know when Yom Tov is, but if you're a Ben Chutz Laaretz, as defined by halacha, because you live in Chutz Laaretz the majority of the year, you would still keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Another interesting question which arises is the following. We said earlier that Mr. Shulchan Aruch told us that when one comes from Israel to Chutz La'aretz, so that which he does as a Ben Eretz Yisrael, davening Tfilas Chol and wearing tefillin, has to be done in private. You can't do things publicly that would indicate that you're not adhering to the Minhag HaMakom. So what about the reverse? Bnei Chutz La'aretz going to Eretz Yisrael. There's no tefillin on second day Yom Tov, but in terms of davening, it's a question that posts can discuss. Apparently now it's the Minhag that Bnei Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael have Chutz La'aretz Minyanim, Chutz La'aretz Hakafos, in all the hotels. That's very public. That's not Betzina at all. Think about one person knowing about it. It's advertised all over the place. Everyone knows about it. So why is that permissible? And apparently, Rabbi Fried in his Sefer Yom Tov Sheni Kol Chasa quotes that he heard from Talmidim of Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein was not so thrilled about this phenomenon that Bnei Chutz La'aretz have public minyanim in Eretz Yisrael on second day Yom Tov. Shlomo Zalman Arbach also told this author that when he was younger, this was not the practice, that people from Chutz La'aretz would daven privately, they would not daven publicly. And if they did, there was criticism as a result. And yet, nevertheless, nowadays it is very common practice that Bnei Chutz La'aretz do have public minyanim for Chutz La'aretz minyanim in Eretz Yisrael. And the defense given for that is that the Shulchan Aruch himself in his tshuva, that same tshuva where he writes that you should keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael, he writes there as well that v'chein maisim b'chol yom b'chol shana v'shana. Shulchan Aruch writes in his tshuvas that this happens every day, every year. Olim l'shalosh regalam echutz la'aretz la'aretz. People come from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And he says v'osim yom sheni shal galios kitikuna v'kumishpata v'chutz la'aretz. They keep 2 days like they're supposed to, like they do in Chutz La'aretz. Then he adds, not just that, he says, Elishamis kabtsim mi minyan b'nei Chutz La'aretz. They gather minyanim together from b'nei Chutz La'aretz who come for the Yom Tov, and they daven tfilas Yom Tov, they kriyas Torah, haftorah, brachos, everything, just like they do in Chutz La'aretz. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, he says, v'dabar zeh na'asa mi mekedem b'fnei gedolei olam. This was done for years in front of the great gedolim. V'lo pikpek adam bedavar zemi olam, and no one ever criticized it at all. So the Shulchan Aruch himself writes that in his time it was common practice that Bnei Chutz La'aretz had public minyanim in Eretz Yisrael, and no one criticized it. And so Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes, he says, since today that is now the practice once again, and the Shulchan Aruch himself writes that this was at that time justified and approved by the Gdolim at that time, so it's not to be viewed as a source of machlokas. It's accepted. Everyone knows this is what happens nowadays, and therefore Shlomo Zalman Arbach was not opposed to this common practice as it is today in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so just to sum up, we saw the basis for the evolution of Yom Tov Sheni. Initially, it was all on the basis of Suffolk. If he didn't know when Yom Tov was, he kept 2 days. If he knew when Yom Tov was, he kept 1 day. Ultimately, it was instituted as a takana on the places where people lived that the shluchim generally would not get to in time before Yom Tov, had to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Even if you were able to calculate for yourself when Yom Tov was, didn't matter. The makom was determined as the deciding factor as to where they'd keep 2 days of Yom Tov. The different shitos l'halacha as how to paskin l'maisa when one goes from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, the Shulchan Aruch, you keep 2 days, Chacham Tzvi, you keep 1 day, and then the in-between approach that you're machmenat du malacha, but you put on tefillin, daven tefillas shalchol on the second day. And then finally, the particular questions we discussed of someone who goes for every Yom Tov to Eretz Yisrael, machlokas of Yashav Shlomo Zalman, and the question of public minyanim, which perhaps Al Pidin one would argue would not be so justifiable, but Lamaisa in practice it is the common practice and it is accepted as such and is therefore justified by contemporary poskim. Thank the Vada Chazak HaTorah again. Thank Rav Schoenfeld and Marza Astra for allowing us to use the Beis Knesset here for the Shir, and thank you everyone for coming.
Good meeting for Byron.